from 88.9 The Bridge. This is Chloe Yang, and today I am here with treehouse enthusiast Pete Nelson, host of the Animal Planet TV show Treehouse Masters. He's hosted 11 seasons of the hit show, and his love for treehouses came about as a child building backyard tree forts with his father in New Jersey. Nelson Treehouse and Supply has built numerous treehouses across the globe, allowing nature lovers like himself to experience life up in the trees.
Thank you so much for having me. What fun to talk to the high school on Mercer Island. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much for doing this. This is like surreal for me.
Oh, my pleasure. And I'm so sorry. I would love to be there with you, you know, in person. But yeah, I'm over here at a car dealership dealing with a power steering that went out. I was headed your way, literally, and my steering became like impossible. So I was close to the dealership and I just fought my way in here. And now we have to Zoom.
Well, this is great. I've been watching your show forever, probably shortly after the first episode aired when I was in second or third grade, and it just fell into my, you know, typical TV rotation along with, oh gosh, SpongeBob, Chip and Joanna Gaines. I know your show, Treehouse Masters, doesn't have any new episodes, but how many treehouses have you guys built off screen?
Well, as a matter of fact, we finished filming Treehouse Masters in 2018, which, you know, now that we're jumping to 2024, that was 6 years ago. Oh my gosh, technically 5.5 years ago, we stopped filming. And, you know, since then, honestly, we've been very, very busy. That whole experience of putting treehouses out there to the rest of the world has, you might imagine, caused a lot of demand, which we love. But what's fun is we also are really choosy about the work that we do. And, you know, it's a nice position to be in. And I recognize that we all do in our little company, but we want to stay small. So we're building, you know, 10, maybe 12 tree houses a year. You know, each one is, they're getting fancier and fancier. So we're not building a whole lot, but we're busy, busy, you know, and that's the great position that we're in right now. It's just a joy. We're building tree houses, for crying out loud.
For sure. How'd you guys first start the TV show? Because that's a pretty big step.
Yeah, you know, I have to admit I went in a little reluctantly because I had seen a lot of these reality shows that had a lot of sort of drama that felt like it was forced or somehow canned and not authentic. And you know, when I agreed to do it, I thought, why don't we try to avoid any of that stuff? And you know, I just couldn't see creating that kind of conflict that seems to be the typical thread in those shows. And so Animal Planet agreed that we would just kind of go at it in a more friendly way. And that's when I took the plunge. And I'm so glad that we did, because Chloe, it was just the beginning of you know, something that I'd been working on for decades, literally. I mean, I started building tree houses, hoping to make it a business. It was the early 90s. I was just getting into my 30s and thought this would be a great life, but it took a while. You know, I wrote a few coffee table books, you know, not literature by any means, but a lot of photographs of the tree houses that I was convincing my friends' parents basically to build. And then when Animal Planet picked it up, it was 2011. And yeah, just kind of all of a sudden, you know, TV is a much bigger audience than the coffee table book crowd. So it really launched after that. And I am so grateful that we took the plunge.
In Fall City, you guys have something called Treehouse Point. Was that before or after or during the show?
So that was a little before the show. In 2006, I found a piece of property on the Raging River, which is just out exit 22 on I-90, Preston, which is, you know, not too far past Issaquah. And it's a beautiful couple of almost 5 acres that is right on the bend of the river between Preston and Fall City. And, you know, it was quite a challenge to get the county to sign off on tree houses, especially overnight, you know, commercial tree houses. But yeah, we started that endeavor in 2006. And in fact, just this morning, I had our Congresswoman, Kim Schreier, out there for a tour. And I was so grateful to have her with me and her staff to show this place that is kind of world renowned. You know, from the show, it's a place that attracts people from all over the world, and there's 7 tree houses and they're small, they're very comfortable little places, but it's in that quintessential Northwest rainforest, essentially, especially like a day like today. But Hey, I'm going to have an update from the technician regarding my power steering. Here he is right behind me. Let's see what the deal is.
We are going to need to like get you in for a further diagnosis.
Okay.
So the update that has been like an issue with these cars. I don't mean to.
No, we're in a Zoom. Okay. We're in a Zoom. You're on a podcast now.
Oh, sounds great.
Mercer Island High School.
Oh, cool. Hello, everyone. we just can't release you with the car. It's kind of like a safety issue.
Can I keep going?
Yeah. All right. I'll just let her know. And
we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sorry. This is probably a horrible time for you to do this.
No, not at all. It's like, it's funny though. It's like, wow, all of a sudden at this moment, my steering goes out. Oh, well. So maybe you can cut that out of the podcast or maybe not, but real life is going down here in Bellevue, Washington.
Is that just like what happens on the show?
Yeah. It's ideally things like this happen on the show because even though we didn't want a lot of drama, it was, you know, something would always occur that was, you know, a challenge and you have to solve those challenges, which is what we all get every day, no matter what business we're in.
Back to Preston. I remember driving past Trieste Point on a weekly basis because I used to play soccer up at Preston for Eastside. So it was kind of a drive-by situation. I've never actually been myself, but I hope to one day go.
Well, I would be glad to tour you myself, Chloe. It's a really special place. And, you know, a lot of these tree houses, there's 7 tree houses there. And I've worked on each one of them, of course. And they're like, kind of like our children, you know. It's a family business. So when I say our children, it really is our families got some great little places to share with everybody and, you know, bring people into the woods and show them how beautiful it is around here, you know. And that's really the whole idea behind this treehouse movement, really, is getting people into the woods so that, you know, people like yourself, not just young people, but adults alike, you know, older people, not you're an adult, but the idea is to get people into the trees so that they reacquaint themselves with nature, you know, make sure that they know what they've got and then thereby fight for it if it gets threatened as it is being threatened all the time.
For sure. I know nature looks very different across the globe, but what is your favorite location that you've built at?
Boy, so at the beginning of this conversation, we talked about my New Jersey roots and I love New Jersey. New Jersey, in fact, it's called the Garden State, and it's because it's got a lot of great soil and trees grow there like mad, and they're beautiful trees, but hard to beat the Pacific Northwest from the standpoint of trees. So, you know, the honest truth is this area, this part of the world is hands down my favorite anywhere I've ever been. When I fly back into SeaTac, I'm like, wow, this is where I live. This is where I get excited every time coming back here. So, yeah, this is the place.
I think it's so funny that you're from New Jersey because I'm a huge New Jersey Devils fan. I was just at the game the other week, and they're like probably one of my favorite hockey teams.
How fun. But wait a minute, we're the Kraken fans now. What on earth? I guess I appreciate that you've got you probably developed that before the Kraken arrived. Is that the case?
No, actually. It's just this past year I've really gotten into the Devils.
Okay. Well, I tell you, the Kraken, in fact, we went to the game. My two boys, you know, from the show, Henry and Charlie, and I, and my son-in-law, Patrick, who's also on the show, went to the big Winter Classic at Safeco, or now T-Mobile Field. What fun. We filled that whole stadium, 47,313 people watching a hockey game in Seattle. How about that?
It's pretty crazy. I bet it was hard to see the puck, though.
Yeah, good point. We were up in the second level, and it was surprisingly easy to see, though. I mean, the puck, maybe not, but the players, you know, I thought they'd be like ant-sized, but they weren't. You could follow along. You could follow. Great win, too. 3-0.
Yeah. Well, speaking of celebrities, talking to a celebrity myself right now, I know that you've worked with some pretty big celebrities like Shaq. Can you talk about what it was like to work with some of your most famous clients?
Shaq, oh my gosh, he was such a lovely, lovely guy. He really was into it. When we were working with him, I thought, oh boy, you know, is he's going to show up just when the times are allotted? He shows, no, he was there the whole time playing with us, hiding from us. Oh man, I almost won. He was betting me I wouldn't sink a free throw. And if I had sunk the free throw, I would take his Mercedes that was parked right there. So I get up, I line up, I throw, it looks good. He comes out of nowhere and slaps it away. I go, oh, wait a minute, that's not fair. So then second shot, same thing. He goes and slaps it away. Third shot, he gives it to me again. I said, okay, seriously? I mean, if I think this, we're on TV, you're going to have to give it to me. I line up, pop it up there. It hits the back of the rim, goes straight up, comes down and bounces off the rim. No good. But if I had sunk that shot, I would have had like a $80,000 Mercedes right there. And he would have had to give it to me, I think. And he would have, because he's the real deal. He's just so clear-eyed and lovely. And he's just a playful, authentic, wonderful guy. But let me tell you, Chloe, this is brand new and I don't want to jinx it, but you know that the comic Amy Schumer, she's really funny. She herself contacted us this last weekend and she said, can you come here in January, upstate New York? And so I will be on a plane on the 11th of January going to visit Amy Schumer. I can't even believe it. I'm so excited.
So you're continuing to work with celebrities off camera as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there aren't many. Like, we did a treehouse for Drew Brees, you know, the quarterback that was the Saints quarterback forever. We did a great project for him last year in Montana. Not to be a name dropper, but there it is. You know, there's a few of them. He was lovely. Treehouse people, I mean, in general, if you're going to build a treehouse, you're sort of automatically going to be a good person, it seems to me.
Yeah. Do you build any non-treehouses, like any smaller projects or even actual houses?
You know, I do a few things of my own that are just for myself or my family, but on the ground, or ground houses, as we call them. But, you know, we really specialize in putting tree houses together. You know, really, what's amazing to me, Chloe, is that it's absolutely a niche business, you know, building tree houses. It's not a lot of people that do it, but we are really serious about it. And I think that because of the notoriety and the fact that we're going to get these calls from these people that are serious about it, we go about it in a very regimented way. I mean, I hate to say it because they're dreamy places, but, you know, we get permits, which is a big deal, getting all the proper paperwork done and design and engineering. And a lot of stuff I learned building single family houses here in the Seattle area. You know, what does it really take to put these things together in a safe, responsible way, you know, both for the tree, the health of the tree, but also, of course, the occupants, all of us. So a lot of a big, big body of knowledge there that, you know, we love sharing with everybody. And we try to do that over the internet as much as we can. But you know, we're the go-to people to build people a real treehouse. And they've gotten fancy, you know, the old, you know, single room, you know, you've got a desk and a cot or something. We'll do those. I think that's what Amy Schumer's looking for. But, you know, there's most of them are having bathrooms and kitchens and, you know, more of those creature comforts that you get in a real house. And so more posts to the ground. I hate to even say that, but I mean, I look at it like this, Chloe. We're conduits for people's dreams, right? And you got a big dream about a treehouse and you want to make this happen and you've got the wherewithal. That's what we do. We go ahead and make it real. And I'm really proud of the group that I work with. And we've got an incredible little company that can respond and make these dreams come true. And yeah, if you're serious, you know, you get a hold of us and you know, we check you out too. And then if you make the grade, we'll fly to you, you know, right away and get your plans figured out. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you got a treehouse.
I wish I could do that, but my house doesn't have big trees, so.
Dreaming is awfully fun. In fact, dreaming about your treehouse might be as much fun as just going through the pain of paying for one, you know.
Sure.
So keep dreaming and then find that property, because there's so much beautiful land, you know, even though this is a big city and crowded, you don't have to go too far, you know, come out to the Snoqualmie Valley. There's still great swaths of forest that you can buy. Not that you need a lot of it, but you need a tree or two and, you know, even affordable. And then the treehouse itself. So here's the other side, the trees that, you know, we build these fancy treehouses and we like to think we pay our guys really well. And we, you know, materials are expensive, but if you want to be really crafty about it, you can, it's an amateur's kind of a game too, where you don't have to be an expert. Please research and look at how these get put together. But you know, you can scrounge for materials and you can get friends together and you can build that simple treehouse, you know, just a room, just a place away from, you know, the main house where you can disconnect and have a place of your own. And, you know, we did that as kids, and I'm sure you all do that on Mercer Island too, where you've got that dream and you get obsessed about it too. You go in the backyard, you dream it up, of course, while you're in class, which you shouldn't be doing, but you do anyway. And then you go home, you find out that, hey, that builder that's doing that job down the road, he'll let you have the scraps, you know, he'll let you have this or that. And that's how those little things happen. And you might even find out you're pretty good at it. And then it's a career path, you know, building.
I've never used power tools or saws or whatnot in my life. So my treehouse might be a little unstable.
I've seen plenty of those, let me tell you.
Oh, no. Well, in your episode filmed in Hawaii, it was really emphasized that you guys source recycled wood. How do you guys implement those little details within the treehouse and, I guess, find a way to make the treehouses you build feel like you're engulfed in the middle of nature?
Well, that's nice. And we do love that. Treehouses have always been that sort of thing where you scrounge your materials. And, you know, when we were all 14 and 15, we didn't have any money. So we would go and find stuff and put it together. And you know, in that spirit, we're using a lot of the materials that are coming from the buildings, you know, in Mercer Island, you see it in Seattle, a lot of buildings coming down for the next wave of new construction. And we're grabbing all those 6x10s and, you know, bigger stuff too. And we can re-mill and turn that into beautiful paneling for the inside, you know, and all that material, the urban forest, as we call it. You know, we're not going into the old growth woods anymore. We're just going to use the stuff that we have available to us and repurpose it. Feels really good. And it also gives those rooms, you know, that really warm feeling. Wood has that feeling. I mean, drywall is, I don't know, just sort of doesn't have that feel. But when you're using all that old wood, and we do it on the outside too, we've got a source for great old Western red cedar that's coming out of the forest from the forest floor, repurposing that. It feels good to reuse and repurpose stuff like that.
For sure. Do you have a treehouse of your own at your house?
You know, that's a good question. Unfortunately, not at my very home. I do, you know, I include Treehouse Point as my little spot. That's only about a mile from where I live. So I get my treehouse fixed there. But I have some apple trees at my house, and they're kind of ancient. And as much as I want to put a treehouse in there, I don't know. There's plenty of tree houses in my life. I wish I had one in my backyard, but, well, such is life.
I guess now we can move on to the rapid fire question. So answer as quickly as possible, but I guess if you want to elaborate a little, that would be fun too.
Okay.
Most memorable tree house.
Most memorable tree house was in West Falmouth, Massachusetts, 2000, year 2000. Daryl, who still works with me, brought the material across from Seattle here. He was 19 years old. He still works with me. He's, what would that be, 42 or something now. But Daryl drove it all the way across country, our first cross-country treehouse in this beautiful little harbor that had all these great sailboats. And it was quintessential Cape Cod, September, beautiful. We'd swim in the ocean and build the treehouse. It was just, oh. The family is still a good friend of mine. I just love the Rosses, beautiful family, and they have a great treehouse.
Do you ever go back and visit?
As a matter of fact, I do. I went back, this is already years ago, and drew another treehouse while I was there. I stayed in the treehouse, and it was a tremendous thunderstorm. You know, we don't get a lot of thunderstorms out here. Well, man, thunder and lightning, and I was drawing, and it was one of those great experiences I'll never forget. So yeah, I'll visit it.
Most challenging build.
Most challenging build was Magnolia Bluff. We were building on this edge of disaster. In fact, it was where a landslide had occurred, and it was famous. Perkins Lane, a couple houses went into the drink, literally, on Perkins Lane out there in Magnolia. And we were at the bottom of this big pile of stuff, and a few cottonwoods were growing out. And the show wanted to do something there, and the people that owned the land wanted to do something. And I was like, oh, my God, we're going to get in trouble. I mean, we can't do this. And very stressful build. It's an episode that you can see. I don't know what they called it, but it was a tiny lighthouse treehouse, I think. And I thought any moment the authorities were going to come and just throw us into jail, and it was just going to be a disaster. So I was a stress case. the whole time.
I'll have to go back and watch that one. Furthest you've traveled?
Furthest I've traveled, I went to see a treehouse in Cambodia with my Japanese friend Taka. He was he had built a treehouse outside of the Angkor Wat temple, and we traveled together. I went to Japan to visit him, and then we flew all the way down to Thailand, and then over to Cambodia. And oh, what a great experience being in that area, eating that beautiful food, and seeing a place that I would otherwise probably never have gone to. Cambodia.
Sounds super fun. Is it hard to transport all your materials cross country or around the globe?
You know, we have concentrated mainly in the U.S. in the lower 48, I would say, although we've built in Alaska and, as you know, Hawaii. Really, I think that's our bread and butter, is the lower 48. And we get on these great highways we've got, and we ship stuff. You know, we're working in Florida right now, and I've got a fun, the guy wants another treehouse in Florida. And so after Amy's project, I'm going to go down there and work on a little bedroom treehouse, and he's ready to go. He wants it like lickety split. So we'll have a prefab it, as we do here in Fall City, and then send it across the country just on these fabulous highways of ours. And it'll be there in 4 or 5 days.
Oh, I've never imagined a Florida treehouse before.
Yeah, this is a fun one. This is a fun one. We actually had a job fall through in Mississippi, of all places, that was going to be our next job. And all of a sudden, the owners there decided they didn't want to live there anymore, and they're going somewhere else, Nashville, I think. And so they canceled what was going to be our February job. I was like, oh, okay, well, that's business. But we called the guy in Florida because he had talked about maybe needing another, like a bedroom. And so he said, I was about to call you. So now we filled that hole with a bedroom, with a bathroom and a big walk-in closet. So lucky us, we filled up our February with a second treehouse in Florida, where we're already building something.
I guess that works out perfectly.
It was perfect. I can't even believe it. Yeah, we're lucky.
Most fancy treehouse?
Most fancy treehouse, I guess, would go with the biggest treehouse, and that was in Bandera, Texas. Finished up a monster. I think it was like a 2,500 square foot, in these beautiful cypress trees, these big bald cypresses that grow all over along the riverbanks there in Texas. And this was a huge one and a really fun client. We just went off, a lot of great woodwork, just fun, and a lovely guy. He's got all these exotic animals that run around below too. Like, I don't even know what the names of some of them are, but crazy cool animals everywhere.
Well, I guess since you're in Texas, you gotta go big or go home.
That's what it's true. I mean, every time we're down there, it seems like, wow, it's even bigger and more.
What type of tree is easiest to work with?
You know, I love the Douglas fir right here, the beautiful, they live forever. They're straight and strong and resilient, you know, just one of the great trees. I love our Western red cedar here too. A lot of branches though, so you don't want to cut a whole bunch of branches just to put a treehouse in there. It's those are my two favorites. And then, boy, you look at some of these oak trees, like live oaks that you see down in the southern parts of this country, and they're so beautiful, and you want to be in them, but they've got branches going everywhere, so they can be complicated.
Most fun client.
Boy, the Bandera guy, I was just talking about him. This guy was such a character. Kevin Reed, lovely guy. He's just bigger than life, you know. Literally jumping up and down. And but you know, Shaq was jumping up and down. Shaq was a great client. He was so fun. He was so touched by his treehouse. He picked me up in his arms, lifted me, and my head showed up right about where his lips are, and he gave me a huge kiss on the head. And I was like a foot and a half off the ground, and he was kissing the top of my head.
So he really is as big as he seems.
He's huge, yeah. Huge, yeah. but svelte. I mean, the guy, he works out. You should see his workout routine, man. He gets, like, that guy is in good shape.
I bet I won't even go up to his, like, hips.
That could be.
Favorite treehouse location?
Boy, those Hawaii treehouses were pretty neat. Yeah, the Goodwin family. There was we did two when we were down there for the for that episode, and the Goodwins had the kids, and well, I guess both families did, but there was some type of almond that we went really high up into, and they had such a lovely family, and it was just off back from the coast there in Kauai. And it's that classic, you know, tropical environment that you always imagine. That's where your treehouse should be, kind of Swiss Family Robinson style, right?
Lastly, favorite type of wood or tree?
Favorite type of wood, again, Douglas fir. You know, I love working with Douglas fir. That would be good, you know, for structural stuff like beams and joists that hold up floors. And it even makes a beautiful paneling for the interior finish. Douglas fir. Outside, redwood or western red cedar. Now, redwood, hard to come by, but we're salvaging a lot of old water tanks now, which is really fun because that same beautiful, rich, deep red comes from that. And, you know, you put an oil on redwood and it just looks, oh, just gorgeous. And cedar too, you know, western red cedar. So those all last really well in outdoor environments for decking and siding and railings and stairs and that kind of thing. So that's a great exterior wood. A hardwood, I would say walnut. I love a nice, rich walnut. Or doing cabinets, cherry. Cherry's beautiful. I have a lot of wood I like.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
It is.
Well, I don't want to hold you up too long, but I think that wraps up this interview. Thank you so much for your time, and I hope your car issue gets fixed.
Oh, I'm so sorry I'm not there in person, Chloe, but really fun to talk with you, and hello to your high school. I hope this gets broadcast to as many people as you hope it can.
Once again, thank you so much for listening, and thank you, Pete, for joining me today. You're listening to KMIH 80 and The Bridge, and keep tuning in for music and conversation that spans generations.